about political, economical Babylon. This is a future event. But as I ended the sermon last week, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Every time Jesus spoke, what he spoke came to pass. And as we read through this passage, you're going to see the other devastation and how the world, the future world, will mourn over such devastation. Verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all matter of vessels of ivory and all matter vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men and the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. Thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea, they stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. So what we have here is lament over the utter destruction and devastation that Almighty God, you need to remember that, religious Babylon was destroyed by the beast, but economical and political Babylon will be destroyed by God. Let's pray. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit be our teacher. Hide me behind the cross. Have your way, Lord, in our hearts. But more than that, Father, we need to assimilate what we learn so that we can be people of the truth, that we can be witnesses for the Lord Jesus, that we can apply what we learn to the situations of life that we encounter, that our lives would so glorify you. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. The destruction of Babylon described in this chapter will prove to be the most destroyed and devastated city in all of human history. And believe me, that is saying a lot. In lieu of the many, many cities, especially in recent history, that have been utterly destroyed. First city comes to my mind is that of Hiroshima, Japan. It was on August the 6th, 1945, an American B-29 bomber dropped the first atomic bomb, detonating the first time a nuclear weapon had been utilized in war. The city was largely intact, although Japan had suffered great devastation from Allied bombing. In fact, the city of Tokyo pretty much been wiped out. Some historians say Tokyo was more devastated than even Hiroshima. But that first atomic bomb killed 80,000 people. And it destroyed 60,000 buildings. Such devastation, and in, as the Bible says here, really in a moment, in 1 hour. It was in July of 1943 when the Allied forces dropped over 9,000 tons. Think about that. 9,000 tons of explosives on Hamburg, Germany. That was one of the most important industrial cities in the nation of Germany. And before the war, it's one of the great cities in the world. But during the first week of the bombing, there was a heat wave and a windstorm, and it contributed the firestorms that sucked all the available oxygen from the air. Kind of interesting. It's almost an act of God. And it destroyed half the city. Over 44,000 civilians perished. It is the United Nations that designated the city of Grodno as the most devastated city on earth in our time due to the extensive damage it suffered in the 99 and 2000 war with Russia. If you don't remember, I'll quickly review. The city was sieged, and the Russians attacked that city. It is estimated that 5,000 to 8,000 citizens were killed during the siege. Now, this is sad to read these historical events. The one that we read to you in the Bible hasn't happened yet. But for all intents and purposes, it might as well have been in a newspaper in the past, because it will happen in the future. Can say so because God said so. And these are just a few cities. When I think of ancient history, I think of the city of Pompeii, how a natural disaster, an earthquake, destroyed that city in a moment. I am sure that there was great mourning and lament over these cities, these great cities that were destroyed. But probably in the end times there will be no cry or anguish like there will be over the city of Babylon. And that's where we begin in verse 9. The kings of the earth. And you note that the first thing we read is they have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her. They participated in her wickedness. The great influence upon the world can be seen by the reaction of the world to the destruction of their city of sin. Now, I know when I say city of sin, we're probably all thinking of what is it? Is it Los Angeles? Vegas, thank you. Yes. But this will really be the city of sin, Babylon. This section describes the anguish resulting from the judgment upon Babylon. And there are three groups that are specifically mentioned and are mourning, and they cry. Oh, how terrible it is how men love their sin. And when the source of the sin is cut off, how upset and how people are suffering and in anguish because their sin cannot be fulfilled. You notice the kings, it says, of the earth. And this is a description not of just literal kings, but of the leaders of the world. These leaders bewailed her and lament for her. And then in verse 11, if you'll just jump down there quickly, and the merchants of the earth, they shall weep and mourn. Why do you think so? Where do you think they made their money? They made their money in Babylon. Whether it was legitimate or not legitimate, that was their source of their income. That was the source that made them rich. And then look at verse 17. In 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. They lament because there's no way now for them to get rich. And it says in this verse that the shipmasters and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea, they stood afar off, because mariners make their money with trade. So you can see the economical Babylon, when it is destroyed, is going to be a hardship on the world. You noticed in the passage, the phrase, alas, alas, is used three times. Verse 10, verse 16, and verse 19. Now, when I read the word alas in English, I don't get the meaning that is given to us in Koine Greek. And a more proper understanding of that word is described to us in Revelation 9, verse 12. So I want you to go there. Revelation 9. And look at verse 12. It says, and one woe is past. The word woe in Koine Greek is the exact same word translated alas. So this is indicative of a woe. And whenever we see a woe in the book of Revelation, it is because God has passed judgment. And rightfully so. In chapter 18, this word is translated, alas, because the context denotes a sense of not just destruction, but of grief. The world is grieving over the loss of the source of their sin. Interesting enough, last mentioned on their itinerary of products, go to verse 13. Now, this is very sad. The very last sentence. And by the way, if you notice as I read through this itinerary, about 90% of what they had to sell really wasn't necessary. I mean, you can live without gold and brass and marble and precious woods and wine. Most of this stuff was just luxuries. The sad thing is that they also traded in the commodities of slaves and the souls of men. We have a sex trade going on in this country, and we need to pray about our government getting control over it. And what is happening here in America and other parts of the world won't even compare to what's going to be going on here. And it's going to come up into the nostrils of Almighty God, and he's going to say, that's it. And if you remember, when we were in chapter 17, God gave opportunity for men to repent. For he knew what was coming, obviously. In verse 19, and they cast dust on their heads. Verse 19 tells us that this is a chapter of lamenting, of mourning, of wailing. To throw dust on one's head is indicative of an ancient expression of grief. Sometimes in the Bible we read of men, women rending their clothes and sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And so this is very indicative of that. This is an ancient expression of grieving, lamenting, of covering themselves with the filth the world. For in 1 hour, she is made desolate. I read the book Hiroshima many years ago, and it didn't even take 1 hour for the destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It was a horrific and bloody devastation. But that won't compare to what's going to happen here. Again, Jesus has spoken, and it will come to pass. These have prospered. These wicked people who refuse to repent. And I want to remind you where we are in the book of Revelation. We're at the last judgments, the bowl judgments. And they still haven't repented. So don't get angry with God. They love their sin. So much so that men of the world will grieve and lament over the source of their wickedness is gone. How much more should we are the children of the King, should we weep over lost souls? Jesus said, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We need to become more soul-minded. It is the soul that lives on in eternity. The psalmist said in Psalm 126 and verse 6, he that goeth forth and weeping, that is lamenting over the loss, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If you're here this morning and you can remember a time when you led somebody to Christ, what joy to know that you had a part in snatching a soul out of the hands of the devil. The judgment of Almighty God upon Babylon, it will cause universal horror and grief. And while on earth, kings and the merchants and the maritime people, they shall mourn. But others will rejoice. Do you know that the saints of God that were martyred because of the indulgence of Babylon will finally have been avenged? You remember their cry, oh Lord, how long, holy and true, before you avenge us. And they will rejoice in celebration. And that's what the latter part of this is all about. In verse 20, rejoice over her, thou heavens, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Amen. God is a righteous God, and he's the fairest judge of the universe. Let's be careful of holding God to a standard that you and I could never attain. A mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, we all know what a millstone is, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And as I read this, I tried to emphasize how the Bible picks up that no more at all. No more at all. It's almost as God saying, I'm sick of it. So there will be no more at all any of this wickedness. As we come to the close of chapter 18, political and economical Babylon is destroyed. And all that is left now as we continue on in the book of Revelation is for our Lord Jesus to come with his saints. That's you and me. No, we don't come with guns. We don't come with bazookas and surface-to-air missiles. Because we're not coming back as soldiers. We're coming back as administrators. And we reign with the King of Kings for 1,000 years. And a transition takes place in the millennial kingdom. First, there's a purging of the earth, a cleansing, as it were. And then a transition of 1,000 years to bring us back to what God intended. Amen? It's interesting how the study today ties in a little bit with Romans 8. For all of nature groans to be what God created it to be. And so do these bodies. When you get sick, you groan, right? And you say, why me? And that is just the nature of who we are. And intrinsically, we know this is not what God intended. All because of sin, we have now reaped corruption. The Greek says in verse 20, rejoice over her, ye saints and apostles, for God has avenged you on her. In other words, Babylon is guilty of slaying, murdering the saints of Almighty God. Now, when we say saints in the Bible, the word means those who are set apart. The moment that you were saved, you were set apart for God. You were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You became a child of God. And you are a saint. Not a saint in respect to how Catholicism teaches it. But in the true sense of the word, the biblical interpretation is that you are set apart for Almighty God. And these evil people, they're guilty of slaying the saints of Almighty God. And not only the saints, the apostles and the prophets. And the Bible says, God will avenge her. One of the things I try to teach here is, the Bible tells us that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will recompense, I will repay. Now see, you say, how does this apply to my life? Because I think all of us get into a situation where we want to get even with somebody. Can I challenge you to just turn that person over to God? Pray for them and just turn them over to God. I think I said this on Wednesday, so forgive me if I'm being redundant to our prayer group. But you know what? No matter what you're thinking of in way of revenge cannot compare to what God could do. Amen? Because what you might do might turn out to not even really bother that person too much. But God knows exactly how to discipline us. Amen? God knows exactly how to get your attention. When the Bible says God will avenge, look out. Because true justice and true judgment is coming. I have to close. In verse 22 to 23 amplifies the end of the affluent, decadent existence that characterized the wicked lifestyle of this final era. I think I find it interesting that the musicians of Babylon, in verse 22, the Bible says they are silent. And then it says in the pipers and the trumpeters. When I read that, I kind of said, well, there's no more music. We all like music. There's no more music. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found anymore. No more music. No more industry. No preparing of food. No more power for light. No more weddings, because God will destroy these deceivers. Somebody once said, we do not need to see this voice of celebration recalls us to be glad, because now sinners are judged. The fact of divine judgment ought to always break our hearts. Beware of, and Proverbs talks about this, about mocking those that God has punished. When God is bringing a calamity upon somebody that you know is wicked, be careful about being happy about that and mocking that. God does not desire that we do that. The fact of divine judgment ought to break our heart. Babylon the Great, in all its splendor, ladies and gentlemen, is still future. But I wholeheartedly believe that the evil system is underway in our day, right now. And it will deceive millions. Many of them may even be believers. There will be a global government. There will be a global religion. And I think if we're not asleep and we're reading our Bible and we're looking at the culture and the historic events that are going on around us, you can only come away with one thing. The Lord is coming. Amen. The Lord is coming back. Chapter 18 is a sad chapter. It didn't have to end that way. God gave opportunity for repentance. What about you, as I close? Have you ever had that meeting with God where you fell to your knees, as it were? I'm not talking literally, but nothing wrong with that. Where you said, oh God, I hate the sin in my life. It's destroying me. Hurting my friends, my loved ones, and I've tried. Oh God, save me, a sinner. You know, I wish some of these good pastors, and they are good pastors, that are doing these commercials on TV, and I appreciate that. But I think they got to move away from that magic prayer. There is no magic prayer. You need to be broken. Have you been broken about your sin and cried out to God, save me, a sinner? Romans 10, 9, and 10 specifically says that. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, you know our hearts. In this congregation this morning, it's very possible that all that are here know you in a personal way. But if there's one among us who's not saved, oh God, save that soul near cell. I ask, Father, for those that are believers, that you embolden us, empower us, not to give up, but to occupy until you come, to take your saints to be with you, to prepare for the great millennial to come. And for those that may not be saved, that they not put it off, that you would come to Christ in repentance even now. tell God you're truly sorry for the sin in your life. You don't want it anymore. You repent of it. You turn away from it. But you understand you can't save yourself from it. You need the Lord Jesus. So ask Him to be your Savior. And believe in His death, His vicarious death on the cross, and His powerful resurrection. For without your belief in that, you can never be reconciled unto God. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Bless these folks, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our songbook.